Another one of the networks that we're looking at is called NIFCON, and with me is Claire Amos. Claire is the Director of Theological Studies for the Anglican Communion Office and the coordinator of NIFCON. And Claire, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And as I told you, I guarantee you the first question is, NIFCON is what?
Well, the letters stand for the Network for Interfaith Concerns for the Anglican Communion. And NIFCON began in about 1994 as a result of interest in interfaith issues that was expressed quite strongly at the 1988 Lambeth Conference. And I think it's important to say that it's the Network for Interfaith Concerns. And I see that as being a kind of range of interfaith concerns. Some of them obviously will be the desire to engage in dialogue, either verbal dialogue or social dialogue with people of other faiths. But there's also what I would call the kind of concerns that are reflected in acknowledging that there are members of the Christian community, members of the Anglican Communion, who live as minorities in sometimes quite difficult circumstances among people of other faiths. So in a sense, the concerns in our name expresses the fact that we have this range of issues that we are related to. We've got a mission statement. I don't know if it would be worth sharing that with you. It's that we exist to encourage progress towards genuinely open and loving relationships between Christians and people of other faiths. Exchange of news, information, ideas and resources relating to interfaith concerns between provinces of the Anglican Communion. Sensitive witness and evangelism where appropriate. Prayerful and urgent action with all involved in tension and conflict. Local, contextual, and wider theological reflection. So those are those five sort of points, those five areas are in our mission statement, and I think they've been there since 1994.
Was there any dramatic change in your work after September the 11th?
It was certainly true that the work of interfaith concerns began to have a much higher profile for sort of fairly obvious reasons. Right. It was very strange for me on September the 11th. I wasn't really connected with NIFCON. I was just beginning to be connected with NIFCON at the time. But as it happened on September 11th, I was at a residential meeting in England that was part of the Church of England's Interfaith Consultative Group. And we were called out of our meeting to look at the television screens, and it gave a sort of sense of this, you know, well, this isn't just academic stuff that we're dealing with. And I think I've had that sense very strongly ever since myself.
Have the conversations between Christians and Muslims taken on a higher significance than with other denominations?
I've got to be careful here, because I think some of my colleagues on the management group would say that it is a danger for NIFCON if we just get engaged in Christian-Muslim relations. And it is important to say that we are concerned about relations with Muslims, obviously, but also with Jews, with Hindus, with Sikhs, and with people of other faiths as well. In fact, I think quite deliberately, the first formal consultation that we organized was to India, to a part of India that was not predominantly a Muslim part of India, and we wanted to say something like that. Inevitably, because of the current world tensions, I think Christian-Muslim relations tends to have a high profile. And it's also true to say that if we're thinking about the situation of Anglicans in various parts of the world, I think the Christian-Muslim dimension of living together in countries like, or living alongside each other, countries like Nigeria or Pakistan or parts of the Middle East, inevitably lead us to have a particular profile in looking at Christian-Muslim relations.
Who are the members of NIFCON? How does the network form?
How does the network function? Well, we have three presidents who are who represent three different parts of the world. Their position is, in a sense, honorary. I don't want to give their names just at the moment, because actually one of the things that's happening at ACC14 is suggestions for two of the new presidents to be replaced. So until that's formally been agreed, I think it would be not appropriate to share their names. But they are deliberately chosen to represent the Asia, Africa, and other parts of the world. And then we have a management group that is, by dint of financial constraints, like most of the other networks, we have fairly severe financial constraints, has got a particular focus on the UK. Then we try to make it wider than that. The chair of the management group, Michael Jackson, is Bishop of Clogher in Ireland, and we deliberately invite people from other parts of the Anglican Communion who are temporarily based in England to be part of the management group where we possibly can. And then beyond that, we have a number of correspondents that we relate to, and we try and seek news from in different parts of the world. Ideally, we want to have one in each of the provinces. I think some provinces we don't have them, partly because it's not perceived as a particular issue for that province. Though I think that may not be my perception, but that's the province's perception. And some provinces actually are obviously much more active in responding to us than others. We have a particularly good correspondent in Pakistan, actually, who comes and shares news with us on a fairly regular basis about the situation there.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about one of the points you made in your mission statement. That's about sensitive witness and evangelism, because this, of course, when one comes to interfaith questions, this is inevitably something that comes up. Do we, you know, is there one way to God? Is it all of those kinds of things? Can you say a little more about the sensitive witness and evangelism, what that means?
Well, our first consultation in Bangalore, India, was actually looking at the issue of mission, evangelism, and dialogue. And I think what we would want to say is that we believe that dialogue with people of other faiths is actually part of mission, understood in the wider sense of the word. It's part of God's mission. There's a lot of interest at the moment in the fact that reconciliation may be a mark of mission. And certainly, therefore, in a sense, the reconciliation between people's different faiths is linked in a deep way to this sort of missionary the missionary focus. We've recently produced, after consultation quite wide consultation around the Anglican Communion, a report on the reasons for engaging with people of other faiths. It's called Generous Love, the Truth of the Gospel and the Call to Dialogue, and it was presented to last year's Lambeth Conference. One of the things that I think marks out Generous Love is actually the Trinitarian perspective that it offers. A focus on the hospitality of God the Father, the sense of the Son, Christ, who is present along, the incarnate Son, who is present alongside us, and the energy of the Spirit, which can be both converting and transforming, and also reconciling too. And I think actually when you start to use Trinitarian language for reflecting on how people engage with other faiths, people of other faiths, then it begins to be more possible to understand how both somehow within the diversity, and if you like, of the Trinity, the sense of engaging both in evangelism to people of other faiths, and actually offering them, wanting to offer them the hospitality of dialogue, is theologically and logically viable. Within Generous Love, there's one point at which we talk about the two poles of mission, embassy and hospitality. Embassy might be seen as going out and sharing our Christian faith quite directly with people of other faiths. Hospitality might be being seen as being willing to stand and listen and hear and offer, in a sense, a hospitality of spirit, as well as a real hospitality. I don't mean real in a practical hospitality, a hospitality of spirit, and a practical hospitality to people of other faiths.
Is generous love something that a parish might use as something to read and study?
Well, we certainly hope so, and it has been very well received. I think I'm on the fourth reprint at the moment, so either I was sort of far too negative and pessimistic about about possible sort of distribution originally, or it is, as it were, being well received. One thing that we are working on at the moment, the NIFCON Management Group, is a study guide for Generous Love. And Michael Aid, the web manager for the Anglican Communion Office, has been extremely helpful, because what we're aiming to do is produce it as an interactive web resource.
Okay.
And one of the delights in store for people at this ACC 14 meeting later in this week is that we are going to share that work as far as we've got in the session in which NIFCON is presenting. And so we're going to be inviting people that day to bring their laptops and link into the internet and sort of plot and explore for themselves the study guide that we've been producing.
And so following ACC 14, this generally could be available on the website.
It will be either available in stages, or maybe we'll keep it back until we finish the whole project. What we're offering at ACC 14 is as it were, about half. We've managed to get through about half of the study guide work that we need to do. And I think also we will be wanting to sort of take account of the comments that we get at ACC 14. One of the things we really want, and we haven't got enough of yet, are contextual stories of people around the communion, because I believe sort of passionately that our Anglican way of doing theology means that we need to sort of take seriously God, of course. Generous love begins with God quite deliberately, but also takes account of the fact that we do our theology in many different contexts.
Is the best way for an individual Anglican or perhaps a parish, is it through the website to be able to engage with you?
Through the website is a good way, and I'm sure my contact details are on the website. But my name's Claire Amos, Clare, no I, dot Amos, Amos, at anglicancommunion.org, and I'm always very willing and like receiving emails and try to answer them as soon as I can.
Claire, thank you for helping us understand.
Thank you.
And now we know what NIFCON stands for and something about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks indeed.